Well, hello, welcome. Welcome back to Waffle Free Storytelling. Tina Constant here. And you know the jibber jabber's always somewhere else. We're jumping right into this week's story, which is Jarobi's Eternal Wish. It feels like we've had a string of origin stories in Waffle Free. And that's okay, they're kind of my favorite. So, Jarobi's Eternal Wish. Now, listen. Almost everything in the world today exists because it was planned. Now, I'm not saying that the plan always turned out exactly as expected. Take the platypus, for instance. You just have to listen to the last story to know how that one came about. But that was a most perfect and beautiful mistake in the creation of all things. What I'm saying is that almost everything in the world came to be because it was intentionally created, or invented, or made, or evolved. I say almost everything. One time, just one time in all of the world's history, things didn't go entirely as planned. Now, way back in the early years of Earth, an old man, the only one of his kind on the whole planet, lived on the edge of a rich, deep forest. Because no one gave him a name, he did. For no reason other than he liked the sound of the word, he called himself Jarobi. He was alone in the world simply because that's how the gods did things back then. In their experiments to find the things that worked best, they would make only one, decide if it had value, and make more accordingly. The fact that Jarobi was alone tells you exactly what the gods thought of that little experiment. Anyway, Jarobi had been made, evaluated, and left to his own devices. That's a polite way of saying he was forgotten. As a result, he lived and he lived, and he got so old that he lost count of his years. In fact, the only way he could track his age was by the growth of the giant trees around him. Every size and variety of tree grew in that forest. It was like the valley was a play space for the gods to try out different specimens. The ones that flourished spread to other parts of this blossoming blue-green planet. There at the edge of the forest, Jarobi had seen it all. The rise and decline of great beasts, the changes in the weather from hot to cold to hot again, the migration of birds to and from the forest, even the rising of the world's waters. Every morning, he would wake up, step out of his cottage, light a small fire and brew a cup of rich tea to watch the sun rise over those trees. What will today bring? That was the question he asked himself every morning. On this particular morning, he sat on a log by the fire and watched a parade of ants carry leaves from an old sycamore and into a hole in the ground. Hundreds of the little beings trundled across the rocks that to them must have looked like houses, but not a single ant hesitated as they scrambled over the rough terrain. Jarobi was watching the ants so closely that he didn't hear a twig snap nearby. In fact, he only noticed he had company when a being so wrapped in dark it made the sun blink out joined him by the fire. For a long time, neither spoke. As the shadows grew around him, Jarobi filled a second cup with tea and offered it to his guest. Long, thin fingers with cracked blue skin, nails chipped and broken, the shadow took the cup. "Time is running out," the shadow said and sipped the tea. Jarobi studied the shadow. He had never seen the likes of it, not in all his years on the edge of that forest, not in all his years walking the earth. He had never so much as heard of this being. It was so wrapped in sadness that it turned Jarobi's skin cold. But before he could say anything, the shadow evaporated and the sun filled the sky once more. Jerobi sat for a moment, not really knowing what to do. The gods wouldn't talk to him, he knew that, but the old oracle might. Without pausing for even a moment, Jerobi left his cottage and his fireside and he ran. He ran to the wild river that tumbled through the valley. He climbed onto an old raft that he had built 8 centuries earlier. He paddled to a lake at the end of that river, and moving at a pace that did not reflect his age, he ran to a cave that he had visited only once before in his long life. The oracle lived in that cave. She was mean and spiteful, but she could see the future of things. "Oracle!" Jerobi shouted from the mouth of the cave. "A shadow came to my fireside. It told me time was running out. I don't know what that means." For a moment, there was silence. Then a rasping laugh rippled out the cave. "Come in, my child," the oracle whispered. Jerobi stepped into the cave and paused. It was dark and foul-smelling. Stepping deeper into the cave, Jerobi couldn't hear anything, but he heard the slithering and crawling things. "The last time we met," the oracle said suddenly, so close to Jerobi that he could feel the heat of her breath on his skin. "I told you your life would be long. Has it been long?" Jerobi reached out to find the oracle, but there was nothing there. "It has been long," he said. "Now," the oracle croaked, "now you want to know your future once more." Jerobi turned around, trying to find where the voice was coming from, but there was only darkness. "Give me your bones," the oracle said, "and I will tell you your future." "Whoa," Jerobi shrank away from the cold touch. "You cannot have my bones?" The oracle chuckled. "Then you will never know what tomorrow brings." Feeling a tightening around his throat, Jerobi spun around looking for light. Seeing a glimmer, he ran towards it. All he knew was that he had to get away from that cave. Coming there was a mistake. If the oracle wasn't going to help him, the first of the old gods might. With the sun once more on his face, Jerobi ran to the top of the highest mountain. There at the peak was a small stone cottage. Without knocking, he barged in to find an ancient god asleep by the fire. "A shadow told me time was running out," Jerobi said. "What can I do? It's too soon. What does it mean?" The god blinked awake and stared at Jerobi. "Too soon?" The ancient god sat up and stretched. "Oh, why too soon?" Jerobi rubbed his hands together, trying to keep warm. "I've still got things to do." The old god smiled. "May I ask you, Jerobi, what did you do yesterday?" Jerobi shrugged. I counted acorns. The old god chuckled. "Give me your heart, and I will let you go back in time and change your past so you can make better use of that day. You can make it anything you want. Your heart is a small price to pay." Jerobi pressed his hands to his chest. "No, you cannot have my heart. That'll be the end of me." "Fine," the old god said and rolled over back to sleep. "Then you will live without being able to change your past. Let me know if you change your mind." And the old god started to snore. With nowhere else to go, Jerobi sat on a log to think. If he gave the ancient god his heart, he'd be able to change his past. If he gave the oracle his bones, he'd be able to see his future. But what was he without his heart or without his bones? Jorobi had lived long enough in the world to know what death looked like. He had seen bones stripped of flesh, and he had witnessed the moment the heart stopped beating. "No," he said to the sky around him, "I will not give up my heart or my bones." Jorobi knew of only one more place where he might get help and answers. Moving a little more slowly and carefully, he walked back to the forest, into the forest, and to the tangled center of the forest. In the middle of all that tangle was a pool. It was dark, and it was ice, ice cold. He had put his foot in that water only once before, and the pain of the cold had been too much to bear. This time, he didn't have a choice. To make sure he didn't back out, Jorobi didn't step into that pool. He dove. The moment he touched the water, it grabbed him and pulled him under. Keeping what air he had tight in his lungs, he searched for what held him. And as the muck and the mud cleared, he saw a small child sitting on a rock with long black hair drifting around her face. "Time is running out," the child said. "Give me your breath and I will tell you how to spend it." Well, Jorobi was mortified. "Give up my breath? I will drown. No." The child piled pebbles in stacks and smiled. "Well, if that's your choice, then this present moment is all you will ever have. If you change your mind, you let me know." Jorobi couldn't take it anymore. With a push from the bottom of the pool, he swam to the surface and he gasped for air. "First, the oracle wants my bones. Then the ancient god wants my heart. Now this nymph wants my breath. It's madness." Shivering from the cold, Jorobi made his way through the forest, past the cave, around the mountain, and back to his cottage. He lit a fire and piled logs high enough until the flames grew hot enough to warm his bones, bright enough to lift his heart, and friendly enough to help him rest and breathe easy. A cup of tea in his hands and the sun rising on the day, Jorobi fed the fire well into the night. In the dark, without warning, the shadow with its cracked hands appeared once more. Jorobi was ready. He had already prepared a second cup of tea. The shadow sipped the tea and studied Jorobi. "You chose to hold on to your heart and your bones and your breath." Jorobi nodded and threw logs on the fire. "It's a hard road. Because you've chosen it, I will give you one gift. Anything, anything you ask." Jorobi thought for a long time, all the way through the night and right up until dawn. With the sun peeking over the horizon, he said, "I want immortality." The shadow laughed. "I like you, Jorobi. Your wish is granted." It took less than a moment. The shadow reached out to Jorobi and took his breath, his bones, and his heart. The shadow crushed them all into a fine dust and added them to pure morning dew. As the sun came up, the shadow worked. "I will make 1,000 like you," she said, "and I will add you to every one of them. Then when they multiply, you will be in each one, and so it will be to the end of time." The shadow worked fast, making tens, then hundreds, then thousands of the beings, just like Jorobi. When the work was done, the shadow let the creations into the world with one final word. Because of what Jorobi would not give up, you will not be able to change the past. You will not be able to see the future. And you will often feel like you are drowning in your present. And that is how Jerobi got his eternal wish. That is how he became immortal. That is how humans came to be in the world. It's why we are as we are. We call it life, but we cannot change the past. We cannot see the future. All we have is the present. My goodness, what strange beings we are. And what a world we live in. Can't change the past, can't see the future. And sometimes our present feels totally out of control. But still we trundle on. You know, I can't remember who said it. It's just somebody in the last week. I read a quote. You know how you just messing about online and you see quotes. And somebody said that the measure of success, if you get to the end of the day and you have been happy, you have had success. I think that's a beautiful measure of success. And I think in a lifetime where we can't change the past, we can't see the future, and our present is sometimes very weird, being happy is a pretty glorious benchmark to work towards. All right, hey, I'm all for a cup of tea. Have yourself a splendid, epic, glorious, beautiful day. Go and hug the people you love. And if you haven't joined the fireside yet, I don't know why I call it that. It is just my mailing list. drop around to www.tinaconstant.com. That is Constant with a K. And I'd love to see you there. All right. In the meantime, have a beautiful time. And I will see you next week for more weird, wild shenanigans from Waffle Free. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.